Today's program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Many people are thinking, why are you talking about this, Carl? Today's show is called When Humans and Machines Intersect, The Future of Robotically Enhanced Beings. And it is a discussion that we have to have, and I'll tell you why. Because we see people in their hovercrafts, we see people having limbs replaced with robotic limbs, and the future of robotics is probably going to make an even bigger impact in cognition. I met my guest today, Dr. Kenneth M. Ford. He is the founder and CEO of the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. Out of all places, the Ancestral Health Symposium. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ford. How are you?
Thank you, Carl. Good to be here.
Okay. Before we talk about IHMC and its mission and the great things that you're doing and have done already, I have to ask, why were you at the Ancestral Health Symposium if your objectives are to develop robotic alternatives?
Well, as we will no doubt discuss, IHMC is focused on developing technologies that leverage and extend human performance. And these aren't only limited to mechanical and computational technologies. And nutrition and lifestyle clearly are a part of advancing human performance. So both for professional reasons as well as a personal interest, it made sense for me to attend the meeting.
Okay, so let's talk about the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. What exactly is the Institute's mission?
It's to advance the technologies surrounding human-centered computing and human-centered design. So essentially, we are a basic and applied research laboratory. We're a not-for-profit of the university system in Florida. And our focus is working with the research agencies as well as some corporate and private partners to push forward as rapidly as possible the technologies that are enabling enhanced perception, locomotion, or cognition in humans.
And one of the areas that you excel in is an area that has been very elusive for those who work within the robotics field to accomplish, and that is the bipedal movement of a being standing on two legs. Is that correct?
That's right. We are very proud of the robotics group, in particular the folks here that are working in humanoid robots. They're right at the very front edge.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the opportunities where your research and the projects that your group works on, and it is a very, very amazing group of individuals that you've assembled at IHMC. Where do you see these applications? I mean, I know the first thing that people are thinking, oh, wait a minute, we're going to see, you know, the robots that we saw in futuristic movies who are going to fight wars for us. Is that a reality? Will that happen sometime in the future, or will there be a man inside of an exoskeleton that has to operate that?
Well, I think no doubt future combat, future wars will involve greater use of robotics, both on the ground and in the air and under the seas. This is not in doubt any longer and being pursued by all parties. The exoskeleton issue is quite another one. This is a technology that affords better than human performance for whole-bodied humans, but it also affords, perhaps just as importantly or more so, mobility in the near future for those who are paralyzed, such as paraplegics.
And that's a big area. As I said when we were starting the show, you know, we have a growing population that has lost the ability to be ambulatory. We can sit and discuss why that is and whose responsibility it is. But nonetheless, we have people out there who are in hovercrafts, if you will, these little motorized chairs, and they spend their lives in these chairs. And I have to believe that even they would much rather be able to get up and move around instead of being sequestered to that chair. So is this one of the areas that we see these exoskeletons becoming a viable solution?
Absolutely. And what will drive this is sort of two parallel threads. One is the interest and the investment that DOD and others are putting in exoskeletons. But frankly, the commercial driver for this is going to be the aging baby boomers. There are roughly 80 million of us. I'm one of them. And these folks are not going to go gently into that good night. They will be avaricious users of technology to maintain a quality of life that they find important.
And I thought about this on the drive into the studio this morning, right? So my mantra is, stronger is younger, and I intend to get stronger the older I get. But let's be honest, I that may be my intention, but that may not be the reality of my life. I could hit some point in my life where my body just says, you've done everything you can with me, and I am not going to cooperate any longer. And so then the question becomes, okay, so do I now become a spectator to life and not be able to do the things that I love to do, and which obviously movement is a critical role? And I thought, no, I would absolutely take advantage of some sort of exoskeleton-like device, maybe a limb, accessory that would mm-hmm. enable me maybe to walk or move my arms and so on in a fashion that I, and this is not about being crippled, by the way. This is just about being able to do things at a standard that you become accustomed to that aging sometimes steals from you.
That's well said, Carl.
So, with that being the case, do we see the technology actually being within reach of people like myself? I'm 55, so let's say I hit 80. Are we going to see this technology actually being within financial reach of those of us who want to take advantage of it?
Yes, I'm certain of that. I'm 58, so we're not that different in age. And I do think that's the case. It'll happen first in certain limited areas. There are commercial companies in the process of bringing exoskeletons to the market for paraplegics, for example. This will broaden. One will see similar technologies used for rehabbing joints like knees, and then perhaps powering joints like knees and helping people that have had mini strokes and other sorts of difficulties stay ambulatory. And the same thing will happen on the cognitive side.
And I could see this being a great advantage to individuals suffering with neurologically degenerative diseases like Parkinson's disease and ALS, that these poor people, I speak of my sister, who I've had very, very close dealings with as she's gone through this terrible journey of losing her life and becoming a prisoner within her own body because her mind still works great, but she just can't do anything other than think at this point in her life. And so I could see this being a great opportunity for those individuals. How do you interface with the brain? How do I tell my legs I want to walk now?
That's a great question. And there's lots of research in looking at connecting the technologies to the electrical impulses that drive the muscles. So that's one approach. Then there are other approaches where you could use a natural language spoken interface and tell the AI system that you would like to walk forward, for example. Or you could lean a little, and the leaning could cause it to know that you want to turn. That whole area of how humans interface to these devices is critical, and it's one that not enough work has been done in. The engineering has been so difficult, the actuators, the motors, the balance, that everyone has, including us, for the years have focused on that. And now we in particular are looking at how do you re-enable proprioception in a paraplegic, when they're in the exoskeleton and it's walking them, it's literally walking them, right?
Right?
They can't feel their feet. They can't feel their legs. They sort of look down in amazement as their legs are moving, but they don't have ground reaction forces or a sense of balance with respect to the center of mass, the center of gravity on their feet. And with today's technology, you can begin to instrument the feet and instrument the knee joints and exploit the torque loads in the motors to recreate a proprioceptive experience for the person wearing it.
That's so amazing. It's so Flash Gordon. It's so futuristic. And I want to talk more about this. We have to take a break. We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Ford. The website is ihmc.us, the Florida Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. I can promise you this is going to be a really, really interesting discussion. Stay tuned.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles. muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Ford from the Florida Institute of Human and Machine Cognition. And really, the discussion I want to turn a little bit to cognition. It's funny, Dr. Ford, I've been playing with computers since the Atari 8-bit computer. I even had my first what was called a luggable, compact-made computer the size of a very, very large suitcase that had its own keypad and a little small monochrome monitor and a couple of 5-inch floppy drives in it. And it dawned on me about a decade ago that a time was coming where we could, we know from people who lose limbs that the activity in the brain continues even though the limb is no longer there. And it's bi-directional. And I thought someday they're going to figure out to plot how to hit a key, the letter T and Y on a keyboard, and we can just wear a hat, and then we would be able to use our computers without our hands. Is that a possibility at this point in time, or is it still too futuristic?
Well, that exact application isn't likely in the near future, but a lot of work is going on in brain-triggered interfaces and brain-controlled interfaces where sensors are attached to the skull that detect patterns consistent with the desire in the user to have an action take place. And then the computer can affect that action. This is particularly useful for people who are bedridden and can't move, for example.
Is the reverse of that? So everybody thinks of robotics as in the terms that we've been talking about, right? Exoskeletons and machines that will do things that appear humanistic. But apparently your group is working on the ability for machines to enhance cognitive function and even perceptual functions. How does that happen?
Yes, we're in all three areas, cognition, locomotion, and perception. Cognitive is one of the most interesting, of course, and it's so key to what defines us as human. And not just the aging population, but really all of us can use a cognitive orthosis. You know, all that's required is to be born human. For example, we all already use our computers as a sort of orthotic or intellectual brace. When somebody asks me, are you coming to my party Thursday night? I frankly probably have no idea. I'm pretty busy. I look in my calendar,
right,
which is my memory prostheses or orthoses, and I see that, in fact, I did say I'd go to their party, right? And calculators are the same thing. They're not thinking for us. They're really a calculation orthotic. And this has an old intellectual history. There's deep antecedents to this thought. I mean, this sort of work. We as humans have always recognized that the powers of our mind are limited, and we've always made devices to compensate for these limitations. Really, one of the most remarkable inventions is writing. If you think about it, writing is a technology for storing information outside our heads so that we don't have to remember it.
Never thought of that. Yeah, you're right.
And Abacus was an early calculator. You know, we have this great history of recognizing, I think it's one of the defining elements of the human species as a tool maker and a tool user. We recognize our limitations, and then we try to build devices that provide relief.
See, and I never thought of it. So when we think of robotically enhanced cognition, we think of machines thinking on our behalf. But as you point out, we have machines now that take cues and input from us and then give us answers. So this is what we really mean when we talk about cognition. But now, what's a practical application for cognitive enhancement through a machine? Is it just taking someone and making them be able to do the work of a supercomputer? Or is it taking somebody that has lost some form or faculty and then adding back that faculty for them?
It could be either, but the primary driver for research aimed at extending human cognition through computational technology isn't so much to duplicate the kind of thinking that we already do, but rather to enable us to think thoughts we couldn't have thought otherwise and to explore topics that we're not equipped to explore. The ability to compute did that for the ancients to some extent. Right. Writing did that. And now we're looking at, and you can appreciate the visualization tools, computational visualization tools allow humans to think about things in a new way. Mm-hmm. And one of the exciting aspects of cognitive orthoses, and these really aren't prostheses, right? They're more of an orthoses,
right.
Like a computational brace, is to help us think a little more clearly and a little better in different ways. But we're still doing the thinking. It's not like in science fiction, when, you know, the computers are doing all the thinking and humans are their pets.
In the area of perceptual orthotics, I was thinking that, you know, I could see like surgical procedures taking both perceptual and cognitive orthotics and being able to perform surgeries that require some human involvement, but to heighten that human involvement to the point where perhaps you can see things in a 3D, and then also the robotic, let's say, glove would enable through computerized plotting to put the surgeon's hand and scalpel right in the right place where the procedure needs to be occur. Because is that kind of one of the applications that we see in the future?
It absolutely is. In fact, we're working on that exact application. So that was a good insight.
Now let's talk a little bit about you said earlier in the show that the goal is to extend human performance, right, through both cognitive and physical orthotics, if you will. Can you talk more about that, and why, and how, and where does that apply itself?
Sure. I mean, if you think about many technologies, but computing in particular, the only reason we have computers and the only reason we value them is for our own purposes, to extend our ability to understand the world around us and to make decisions. So this is the purpose for their existence. And, you know, for the longest time, computers were phenomenally expensive. You know, they filled gymnasiums. And they were really only used by a priesthood of peculiar people behind the window. You know,
right.
You got your printout from those guys. You don't want to talk to them. You just got your printout. Those days are sort of over, right? Your car probably has 200 computers in it. Computers are ubiquitous and cheap. And so in the past, computers were expensive and humans were cheap. But today, humans are expensive and computers are cheap. So our fundamental relationship with these devices is in the process of changing. And human-centered computing, which is what we do, is about fitting technology to people and how people work, rather than trying to fit the people to their machines.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I'm sitting in front of a computer now. You probably are, too.
Yeah.
And there's a human-computer interface that interfaces me to the computer. And we're about the opposite relationship. We're about interfacing the technology to us.
Interesting. And obviously, that's a critical part of all of this in order to get not only acceptance, but 100% application usefulness. If it doesn't fit the people, it's not going to work.
Right. It'll only be used by the priesthood, you know, by the specialists, and it won't really be part of the person.
Boy, you know, we have this dilemma in professional sports and drug use right now. I can see someday where, you know, robotic enhancement, stealth robotic enhancement, things that are not easily identifiable that can improve perhaps the visual perception of a batter looking at a 120-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, I mean, it's really, I can see a blurring of the lines here after a while, and it's really, really interesting. What exactly is DARPA? It's I know it's an acronym for Government Initiative, correct?
Yes, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and they're sort of the long ball hitters and risk takers. Like most long ball hitters, strike out a lot. right?
Mm-hmm.
DARPA swings for the fences, and they play a critical role in the research enterprise in the United States in that they don't tend to support incremental work. They look for opportunities to support work that, should it be successful, and it may not be, but that should it be, it would change a lot. So, for example, dozens of technologies around you every day came from DARPA. I mean, the internet is one, contrary to other rumors.
You mean Al Gore didn't invent the internet? I'm sorry.
The internet is one, and, you know, stealth is one, and GPS is one. And I mean, there's just tons of them.
So in the investment analogy, this would be the high-risk portion of the portfolio. We don't know if it's going to yield anything, but if it does, holy mackerel.
That's right. DARPA is very unique. They take major risk, and they don't have a permanent staff, hardly any permanent staff. If you have a great idea, and you're able to convince the DARPA director that this could be a game changer, you come to DARPA for a year or two, a couple years, 2-3 years, and you try to move the field forward. You try to push things forward with your idea and with the funding that DARPA is providing. And then you leave. In other words, they don't grow a permanent bureaucracy.
Yeah, it's almost like a dynamic process where you hand off the baton, then somebody comes in and takes what you've done and launches from there.
It's been very successful.
I love that. That's really great, because otherwise you kind of, you know, no disrespect to the scientific community, but sometimes the way a mind works is kind of a monolith, and you can't get out of your own box after a while. But then you take the work that you've done and you pass it to someone completely different. They look at it a different way, and they take it in a direction and a distance that you never thought it would go.
Absolutely.
That's really, really cool. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. This is really an interesting discussion. Lots more good questions. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys. Hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WheyNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WheyNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. Can-See Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today. New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Ford from the Florida Institute of Human and Machine Cognition. So, Dr. Ford, I can see where DARPA has an interest in robotics and exoskeletons, especially for military applications. What about NASA? I see that NASA is in a partnership to develop exoskeletons to provide mobility to paraplegics. What's their interest in this?
That's a great question. In the partnership with NASA, Johnson Space Center, on development of the exoskeleton, our focus is mobility for paraplegics, but their focus is quite different. So this particular exoskeleton had to be designed in a special way. NASA's interest is providing resistance, providing exercise to astronauts in a weightless environment.
Yeah.
So, you know, the astronauts suffer a wide range of disabilities associated with microgravity, a very, very low gravity. And this exoskeleton can load the legs and hips and load it, the idea is to load it authentically at 1G or 1.1 Gs or whatever turns out to be the most effective for mitigating the bone loss and muscle loss.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that they're interested in, is understanding, would this be beneficial in long-duration human spaceflight?
Now, companies like Lockheed Martin and other government contractors are also working on these exoskeletons from some of my research. But how did your research seems to be a little bit more pleiotropic as far as the applications go? They look like they're just exclusively interested in mobilizing, you know, military. And how is what you do different scientifically from what they do, since you guys have different objectives?
Right. And I think that's an insightful comment. The reason why it seems different when you look at it is that we do basic, quite basic research, quite fundamental scientific and engineering research that could have applications in all different directions. Whereas any successful commercial company needs to be doing R&D that's leading to the development of something of utility to the business. And so our focus is would be more similar to research in a somewhere between the nature of the research you find at a university and the research you find at a technology company.
Now, I think in one of the emails or one of the discussions that you and I had casually at the Ancestral Health Symposium, you said that your group just fired up a 6'2", 230-pound robot recently, right?
Right. Its name is Atlas. And
its name is Atlas?
Atlas.
Oh, Atlas. I was going to say Alice, Atlas. A 230-pound Alice. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
okay,
that,
yeah, good name, Atlas. I like that.
Yeah, it's actually 6'3", and 330.
Holy mackerel.
And it's big and formidable humanoid. It looks, it has the human form factor. And this robot is for us to use in the DARPA Grand Challenge robotic competition DARPA sometimes believes that advances can happen in the heat of competition that wouldn't happen otherwise.
That's true.
So they sometimes throw down the gauntlet and say, you know, you guys think you're good. We will accept, say in this case, they accepted the 100 best robotic teams, and then they down selected to 26. And then they had another competition, which I'm happy to say we finished first. And that caused them to down select to 6. And so then each of these 6 teams have each have an atlas, right? And this way, from here on, the race is to who can afford atlas sufficient cognitive abilities and coordination skills to be able to drive us a vehicle with standard patrols. Essentially, it's a Fukushima scenario. They want the Atlas to be able to approach a Fukushima-like facility in a vehicle, get out, gain entry, and close a valve. This is far beyond the current state of the art. So they're hoping, it's not guaranteed, of course, but they're hoping the desire to do well in competition will cause people to sleep on their desks and sort of do the impossible.
That's amazing. And so when you fired, now this is a biped, right? This is a two-legged robot. And does it walk with great agility, or is it clumsy and awkward?
You would not like to walk like this, but many humans would be pleased to, right? It's stiff. It has some awkwardness.
Does it march
sure.
like the North Koreans are the communists?
No.
Does it march like the North Korean army?
No. But it's cool.
What can it do? Obviously, this is a big task for it to be able to drive a car, enter, exit, all the things that we take for granted, all of these little nuances, and then get out of the car, gain access to a building, you know, find a location, shut it down. Is it there? Can you do that sort of stuff through remote control now?
No, but that's the purpose of the competition, is first to ascertain which are the best groups in the world to do this, and then to turn them loose in a competition that requires it to be able to do these things. And it could be that the robots accomplish all of them, or it could be they accomplish some, but others require more work.
Uh-huh.
But by each team having the same hardware, it makes the results shareable and repeatable. One of the problems in robotics is everybody has a different robot, so it's really hard to know how to share the results. You know, if I have your software for your robot, it doesn't help me any if you and I have very different robots.
Which leads me to think that there should be a consortium of the leaders in this industry who sit down and create some sort of standardization that say, okay, look, in order for, you know, everything to kind of work together and jive, and for all, you know, we really need to kind of standardize it. So you're not using this kind of a plug for that application, and we're using something different. Is that the next step, or is that already being done?
It's kind of what they're doing at the research level. Once it becomes commercial, then I'm sure that what you're describing will be necessary.
So how do you have this kind of dialogue with potential competitors without giving up too much of the ghost, so to speak, about what direction you're going in, but yet still contribute to the mission of all the groups?
That's an interesting question, and partly it comes down to DARPA's attitude. So DARPA, as the sponsor of this work, has made it clear that they're interested in information sharing. At the moment we're the front runner, we're sharing information with the other groups. At some point, every group wants to do the best, right? Every group wants to do well. And clearly nobody wants to, you know, be at the tail end. So there is a competitive element, and I think it's partly why a lot of good normally comes from these competitions.
I have to believe that the with all of the innovation and original thinking and all of the minds coming together and focusing on this single mission, the one restriction that everyone shares is either, however you want to look at it, battery power or energy consumption that limits everybody's ability to do what they want to do. Am I incorrect about that?
Absolutely. And that element, the element of power source, is factored out of this competition. But in the real world, when it's time to actually deploy these sorts of things, the issue you raise, the issue of power source and robust, reliable, adequate power, will become absolutely critical. So there are other research groups working on the power problem, and they're not the folks that would know how to make a machine walk like a human or how to make a machine that can get around in our built environments, but they are the folks that understand batteries and power. Now, the Atlas robot that we just discussed, because the competition is, you know, separated power out as a separate problem for other people to be working on, the Atlas is hydraulic, and it's plugged into the wall. So it has all the power you can imagine. It's pretty intimidating when you start it up. Don't want to be anywhere near it.
Intimidating from what standpoint? Does it make ominous noises and threatening sounds and stuff?
It makes sort of a
wait, let me guess. Have you ever heard the private sanitation trucks that squash the cardboard down on the in the garment district when those hydraulics kick in? They make that whining, grinding sound. Yeah, so that's
the, it's a whining sound.
Yeah, but it comes out of it, and the robot, it comes out of every end, not just the back, obviously. So it's really scary sounding.
It is, and this is a big machine with lots of power, and you know, lots of pinch joints. Lots of spots you wouldn't want to have your hand.
Very interesting. I want to take our last commercial break. I have a couple other questions for you. This is really intriguing, and this is really something that a lot of listeners may be listening to and thinking, well, you know, how does this impact me and my goals and my journey? And you may not think it does, but it absolutely will as many of us get older and older. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Ford from the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition about the future of robotics in human performance. Very, very good discussion. Dr. Ford, how much of the existing infrastructure that we have will actually has contributed to make this robotic project really more of a possibility? For instance, we have things like Google Maps for GPS, and we have cellular systems pretty much dotting the landscape everywhere in the world for local positioning system contributions. Do those elements fit into the project?
Yes, they certainly do, and it's really a convergence of technologies that enable this sort of thing, along with advances in recent times in specific kinds of actuators, and in particular some new algorithms for controlling force in a robot.
How much of this, and this, I know this is kind of an esoteric question, but it really is intriguing to me. So, you know, when you and I were kids, we watched movies that postulated that these things would happen in the future. Robots on Flash Gordon and even fast forward, you know, these discussions about how technology would actually not only help us but maybe enhance us to some degree. Have you ever, and I know you're a scientist, so this may be something that you've never thought about, but the fact that you're working on these projects, do you think it's because we believed it could happen, or do you think that we believed it can happen because intuitively we knew that this was out there?
Essentially, I believe there's a feedback loop, and that young people are fascinated by the prospects of technologies that they sometimes first see in science fiction. And as they grow older, they sometimes put those dreams aside, or they seem too hard and too far. Others, as we discussed earlier, due to technological change, come into the realm of possibility. And then we have more advanced technologies that influence the next generation of science fiction writers. So there is a feedback loop, no doubt.
So we kind of think this stuff can happen, so we write about it, and then we write about it. By writing about it and dreaming about it, we explore it, and by exploring it, we start to see how it could actually come together, and then we make it happen.
Yes, essentially, and even other, not just optimistic sort of depictions, but even, you know, I get asked, my own research is about artificial intelligence, and I get asked quite a lot by the public and also by media folks about Hal in 2001.
Yeah, remember him?
And that guy was problematic. And they say, well, what about Hal? You know, he was an AI system that ran amok and killed the crew. And the interesting, and of course that is a problem, but the interesting thing about Hal to remember is Hal's shortcomings, Hal's motivation to kill the crew was not a result of Hal's artificial intelligence or of his artificiality, of his synthetic nature. It was the result of Hal having human traits.
Right.
So it's ironic in a sense, right? Hal had paranoia, and Hal, you know, Hal suffered from lots of human maladies, which one would be unlikely to endow their machines with.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting discussion when you think about it, because it's the humanness that causes the problems, and our ability to rationalize the things that we're going to do. Yeah, I was just watching. I love shows about history, and especially the British history of its the development of its monarchy, and so on. And you know, and religion endows people with righteousness, and righteousness combined with rationalization says, "Hey, I'm doing the right thing when I kill you. God wants me to kill you," and that's a completely human trait you won't find anywhere else in the animal kingdom. Period. End of story. And Hal had that, so
exactly.
You know, it's pretty interesting. Okay, so let's talk about something else now for a second. So on the YouTube channel for IHMC, which if you go to youtube.com/ the IHMC, I believe it is, or user/ the IHMC, you'll find some fantastic videos up there. And so I'm scrolling down and I see my good friend and respected guest, Dr. Lauren Cordain, giving a speech on behalf of IHMC. I see Dr. Bill Davis, who appeared on my show in 2007 when he had the Track Your Plaque project, and then again when he had Wheat Belly. Why are you guys involved in that?
Well, again, we see these subjects as related to optimizing human performance. And so the people that work at IHMC typically are very interested in these sorts of topics, and many of our talks are these sort of folks. And then also, you know, the laboratory is in a community, and the people in the community, both in Pensacola and in Ocala, know that lots of interesting things happen here, but a lot of it doesn't connect yet to their daily lives. And by having these lectures at IHMC, 200 or 300 people from the community can come to the lecture, and they're free, and they can learn about stuff that can make a difference in their life now. And so it's a way of partly giving back to the community, and partly a way, it's a topic of interest to us.
I have a movie that I have not looked at yet. I guess it's Atlas Firing Up. Is that right?
Yes, it's the unpacking and startup of Atlas.
And it, would it be okay if I post that on my blog later today for the listeners to go to and check out?
Sure, you could put a link to it. Did I send you a link?
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did send me a link. Absolutely. So I'll embed that on the website for those who want to see what Atlas looks like. So what's the next steps for IHMC? What's the future hold in store without giving away vital plans that could compromise your progress? When you close your eyes, what do you see the legacy of what you have created here actually influencing? What does the future look like?
Well, we're interested in staying agile and not falling in love with the topic that floated the previous generation's boat. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my late 50s. A lot of the more senior scientists here are in that range or more senior than that. And we had our passions, and the new scientists and new engineers have slightly different passions that I hope they're building. I hope they're standing on our shoulders, or at least find them a good view from there. But they're going to push things in a direction we couldn't have imagined. And for IHMC, we don't develop strategic plans about like which area will be trendy and that we want to go into. What we try to do is we try to recruit the most passionate, talented young researchers, and then it is our strategic plan to do whatever it is they want to do. In other words, we don't sort of plan at the top and then send out, here's the plan, right? We try to get the best people and turn them loose, and whatever it is those people want to do, that's our plan.
You know, I had the opportunity to meet Timothy Leary before he passed away when I was still living in Vegas in the 80s. He spoke at UNLV, and you know, he was one of these people who felt that, you know, by manipulating perception and through certain agents, which he espoused LSD, that you could come up with these what would seem like far-fetched ideas, but actually they were within the realm of human possibility, or you would not have come up with them, and that somehow these drugs unlocked this area of the brain that wasn't accessible to us. I'm not saying taking these types of mind-altering drugs, but does it require a scientist to straddle two worlds when they're in your type of an environment? They have to straddle the reality of what technology provides today, but at the same time, they have to almost have a reckless imagination to say, anything is possible. What do I want to do?
Yes, and a sort of a personal and intellectual boldness to be willing to go to places that aren't safe, right? It's safe to incrementally move forward, and that's important, and we need that done. And I'm not denigrating that at all. We're most interested in people that are able to work on something that may fail, may likely fail, but that it's something they're passionate about, and that if it should succeed, would have great consequences, positive consequences.
Kind of that's the DARPA model, in fact, right?
It is. We like them for that reason, right? They kind of fit our worldview. We had a colleague, he's retired now, that worked with Timothy Leary, and I asked him, he did experiments, you know, with creativity and LSD, this colleague did. And I remember asking him, I said, you know, what kind of art, did you use artists? And he said, oh yes, we used artists. And I said, well, what kind? Painters, poets, you know, what kind of artists? He said, well, all of those, painters, poets, musicians. And I said, well, how did it work out? And he said, well, in a nutshell, the paintings, when the artist was experimenting with LSD, this was all legal, you know, done at universities.
Yeah, yeah.
Looked like, he said, if it was a bad artist, it looked like a bad artist on LSD. And if it was a good artist, it looked like a good artist on LSD.
Yeah.
And he said that was true for poetry and the rest.
I'm gonna have to use that from now. So whenever I talk about my LSD experiences in the 70s, I'm gonna say I was experimenting with imagination. And actually, it's funny because I had some things that I remembered later on in life. It's funny, but that's a discussion for a different type of a show. But obviously, there is some, you know, a lot of people would say, gee, that's, you know, that's nonsense. But there is some application. The government has experimented with these mind-altering drugs for a reason, because they do unlock a certain ability for the brain to conjure up thoughts that it would not be able to do. And somehow those thoughts are fed by some sort of intuition and realities that exist at that moment. And it really is intriguing. I mean, I'd love to do a show on the effects of LSD, but like I said, that's a different discussion entirely. Listen, let's go ahead and plug a couple things. So you have a YouTube channel, and we can give that one again. It's the YouTube channel is the IHMC YouTube channel. Anything else going on that you want the listeners to know about? Any upcoming lectures or opportunities or anything like that? Did I lose you, Ken? What happened? Okay. Well, that's okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing. But go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Okay.
Welcome back. Dr. Ford, I don't know what happened. Mystery of telecommunications, I guess. But anyway, I didn't want to let you go without giving you an opportunity to plug anything that you want to plug so the audience can learn more about what the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition is doing these days.
Well, I think our website would be a great place for people to look. It has a wealth of information, and in the outreach section, it has links to all the lecture videos that you mentioned, as well as links to the newsletters. And I think a lot of people would enjoy that.
Yeah, very good. And then, of course, the YouTube channel is really cool because the lectures that you mentioned are there as well. And there's, just an amazing host of individuals contributing to this project. Fantastic work, really is. Bravo. And really great meeting you and Mrs. Ford at the Ancestral Health Symposium.
That's kind of you, Carl. We're happy to meet you and Elisa, and happy to be on your show.
Thanks so much, and take care, okay?
Thank you.
All right, so there you have it. A great discussion. I know that people are probably thinking, what does this have to do with anything nowadays? But it has a lot to do with it because cognitive enhancement through robotics and even maybe mechanical enhancement is in our future. And it may be something that we want to take advantage of, especially older dudes like me. Okay, thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.